is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. There's so many things happening in the news and current events relating to, for example, the relationship to human DNA and 5G cell tower transmission that is not being talked about openly. The relationship between 5G signals and the coronavirus, there's a relationship between them. Now, we speculated that on this program, the Paul McGuire Report, I don't know, months ago, because I dealt with autoimmune diseases in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And there is a specific frequency to so many pathogens and other biological material that destroys men and women. There's a specific EMF frequency or an electromagnetic frequency. For example, every kind of cancer has a different kind of an electromagnetic frequency. Or this disease or that disease has a specific EMF or electromagnetic frequency. When your body is in a healthy biological state, you're at a particular frequency, an EMF frequency, one which is healthy. Psychological states like depression, anxiety, fear, elation, euphoria, whatever, when you're thinking thoughts of whatever composition, those thoughts coalesce around a specific electromagnetic frequency. So we have that happening. And then we have this total fear propaganda that is based on potential truths, but they're taken to an extreme for the purpose of manipulating the masses, manipulating you, manipulating people you know. And then there is this continuous drum beating, and I believe desire, a sociopathic, pathological desire to use social engineering, propaganda, organizational techniques like demonstrations, psyops, psychological operations, and a lot more. The plan is to divide and conquer America. So by accelerating racism and racial feelings and hurts and wounds and grievances, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying that there isn't a realistic basis for some of this. There is a realistic basis for some of this. But they have very almost a mystical kind of quality, which causes people to celebrate anger and rage and violence, the very things that they say or at one time did say they were attacking. So now you have the mainstream media using this paper, most likely by a Marxist, I'm serious, which is accusing white Christianity of basically being a hotbed for, quote, systematic racism, and that, quote, white Christianity is like one of the biggest problems or contributory factors towards racism. This word they invented called systematic racism. These are Marxist words, for crying out loud. You know what? I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm not going to say what I really think the way I would normally say it privately. Or the way I would think it. But talk about, you know, watchmen on the wall, blowing the trumpet, seeing the enemy in the distance. Okay, well, the enemy isn't at the distance. The enemy has crashed through the gates a long time ago. Let's start with post-adolescence 101. The enemy is not in the distance. The enemy broke through the gates of your society a long time ago. It's just that you were sleeping the entire time and you remain asleep. I'm not talking to you, the listener of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking to this amorphous group of evangelical leaders who don't get it. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's never mattered whether it's true or not. Know their philosophy and stop being such an incredible airhead. They don't believe in right or wrong. So why would they abide by right by wrong? You're subconsciously expecting people to play by rules that they don't believe in. Are you an idiot? I mean, really, you have to be a certifiable, quantifiable idiot to believe that people who have sworn to your destruction and in your delusion, and it's a psychotic delusion, don't go around saying you're going to teach people how to renew their minds and claim to be leading Bible studies. You're not renewing anybody's mind. You're taking their minds and you're plugging it into the electric socket and frying their brains. They can't think. They can't think because they've been denied facts and evidence and history and real education. They've been socially engineered. They've been dumbed down on purpose. They were dumbed down in the anticipation of the point that we're at now, which is white churches in large quantities accepting this Marxist soup and slurping it down and believing that the Church of Jesus Christ is the main source of systematic racism. That is so refutable by history, it's ridiculous. Since it was Christians who freed the slaves, should have fought against Adolf Hitler. There they blew it. But they fought into Civil War in America, and slaves were freed. Now people want it to go a lot farther than that. Okay, that's fine. But you don't do that by adopting and embracing militant evil Marxism and communism, which is what they're doing. So right now, they're seeding the media with messaging. By messaging, I mean they insert content, articles, talking points, whatever you want to call it, visual images to emphasize a particular mythology, truth, or half-truth. They're embedding in the mass mind, the hive brain, the world brain, they're embedding in the mass mind this guy writes an article. I don't want to give credit to the article. This guy writes an article saying that white Christianity is like the primary reason we have systematic racism in America. And then he essentially, in his article, he keeps baiting the reader. He keeps leading the reader to justify some kind of violent attack on white Christian churches, white Christian church buildings, and everything that goes with it. I mean, the whole purpose of the article is to infuse ideas that will produce violence and racism against the church. So very soon, because these articles have gone out nationally, they were published by mainstream media, and in a moment I'll give you the name of just one of the articles and the author. You can read it for yourself, see what it says. It's basically inciting people towards violence. It's hate speech towards Christianity, but nobody does anything about it. Why? Because Christians don't ever stand up for their rights. And if you don't stand up for your rights, you deserve to lose your rights. Or they support and back people that don't stand up for their rights. How hollow is that? I mean, really. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. If we don't take action and pray and take these things seriously, you're going to see churches in America burn of different racial groups, but they will include white churches. They will burn in front of your eyes because there are people out there right now who are seeding those ideas into their hearts and minds. Like I said, with the title of my book, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds in the history of mankind. This is not like fantasy time. This is not a time to drink chamomile tea and take little naps or look at the little cardboard box that your chamomile tea comes in, like sleepy time tea or something. And it's just a cozy little bear by the fireplace as you drink your chamomile tea. But let me tell you something. You may be drinking your chamomile tea by a fireplace, but there are people who are planning to burn churches down. It's being seeded. It's being funded. And nobody does anything. The people who fund it don't get arrested. They're untouchables. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars financing these radical violence, extremist demonstrations. And no one will do anything to stop this. They won't even talk about it, even though it was published out in the open. And of course, why do you think it was published out in the open at this particular time period, at this particular month and week during the calendar year? Why do you suppose they decided to hype up this issue? Well, you already know the answer. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Spread this message far and wide. Send the link. Spread the links of our messages, audio and video, far and wide. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So right here is the article. Racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religious. That's no coincidence. So it's stated in giant bold letters as if it was a fact. Not a fact. There's a lie in its title. And who do you think the publisher of this is? Mainstream media, NBC News page, in their think, which really means they want to tell you how to think. Oh my God, this is so Orwellian. So the name of the website's NBC News. And it says think. Opinion, analysis, essays. So the idea, oh my God, this is mind control on steroids. So at the top of the page, it says thought experiment. And then it says thought experiment. And so this whole article is written now. We've taken mind control to a whole new level. The way the whole article is written is as if you're reading a mind control exercise. So you're supposed to begin the article by taking a thought experiment. Now, those are their words, not mine. A thought experiment. And this is the title of the article. But it's also what you're supposed to think about this title. Racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religious. That's no coincidence. Now, do you think that this article has bias? Of course it has bias. It reeks of bias, and we haven't even gotten past the title. For most of American history, the light-skinned Jesus conjured up by white congregations demanded the preservation of inequality as part of the divine order. There is a partial truth in there. There's a partial historical truth in there. But the lie always is about the multiplication, the amplification, the distortion of a partial truth. The basis of lying, what the first incidence that we read about it is in the book of Genesis, where Lucifer, or the serpent of old, lies to Adam and Eve. Now, how did they lie? How did he lie to them? He told them a partial truth about the fruit in the middle of the garden. He told them a partial truth, but then he distorted it, manipulated it, and changed it. The basis of all effective lying is you must have seeds of truth in any lie in order for that lie to be believable. Okay? So so you've got to say to yourself, there must be some kind of fact or half a fact or 25% of a fact or whatever. And what they do is they distort it. So first of all, here's the major distortion and a complete, they might as well say, this is what we're lying to you. Because this is the title, once again, racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religious. Okay, so when you scroll down to look at their own research never concluded that racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religious. That's no coincidence. Their own research, it says thought experiment. A thought experiment like, do you have a mind? The person who wrote it obviously didn't have a mind. He or she is a propagandist, a machine, a cyborg. So what this is really all about is that white Christians don't buy into this Marxist concept of systematic racism. So in reality, racism is not higher among, according to their own research, but they're lying. Racism is not higher among white Christians, and white Christians are not more racist than the non-religious. Their own research didn't say that. They were talking about not racism. In their research, they were talking about systematic racism. So yes, the average white Christian probably, and a lot of Hispanics and a lot of African Americans probably don't buy into this systematic racism term once they have a proper definition, because it's a Marxist term. It's a communist mind control term, to be blunt. So we begin the article on Newsweek's website called Think. It should be called Lie. Oh, okay. So the guy who wrote the, I'm not going to give it, it's from MSNBC? No, NBC News. That's the title of the article. You can look it up on the internet. And it was written on July 27th, 2020 by Robert P. Jones, CEO and founder of PRRI. So I don't even have to know Robert to know that he has a Marxist worldview. Period. Okay. He's biased. Let me read you what he writes, and you tell me if he's biased or not. Here's his quote. For example, surveys conducted by PRRI in 2018, that's his organization, found that white Christians, including evangelical Protestants, mainline Protestants, and Catholics, are nearly twice as likely as religiously unaffiliated whites to say the killings of black men by police are isolated incidents rather than a pattern of how police treat African Americans. And then he writes, and white Christians are about 30 percentage points more likely to say monuments to Confederate soldiers are symbols of Southern pride rather than symbols of racism. So what we have here is very evil distortion of the data so that he can manipulate his outcome. Okay? This part doesn't surprise me at all. The author of the article is a white Christian. He calls himself a white Christian. I guarantee you, if you sat down and talked to him, it would be very unlikely that he still considers himself a Christian. Quote, as a white Christian who was raised Southern Baptist and shaped by a denominational college and seminary, it pains me to see these patterns in the data. It pains you. It pains you. Even worse, these questions only hint at the magnitude of the problem. There is nothing, you want to know what a lot of Christian colleges and Christian churches produce, and this is why I'm tough on it. this self castrating, this self beheading, this self mutilization that white Christians, especially dumb evangelicals, who go to dumbed down churches, they come out programmed for self-hatred because they're a Christian. They come out programmed for self-hatred because they're white. And the reason they come out so easily self-programmed, and there's nothing, by the way, more pitiful than to see somebody of any racial or ethnic group openly proclaiming hatred and denouncing their own race. Black activists, Hispanic activists, white activists, people who, let's say, take a hardcore socialist viewpoint, they don't respect white people who stand there throwing stones at themselves, belittling themselves in some kind of, they don't respect that. They think they're pathetic. Privately, they just don't say it publicly, but privately they think they're pathetic. So here we have a pathetic white, at least one-time Christian. He doesn't, I don't know, he plays games, so he doesn't really say if he's a Christian right now. He was careful to say that he was raised a Christian, which is far from being a Christian in the present tense. Anyway, if you read, here's the thing, if you read his article, it's a classic Frankfurt School socialist Marxist propaganda, which I expose in my book, Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. But you see, all these Christian pastors, seminary people, college kids and stuff, who buy into this Marxist programming, and that's exactly what it is, the reason they buy into it is because when I said they were airheads, I wasn't being cruel. When there's nothing in your brain or nothing under your skull but an empty, hollow space, then you're not going to be capable of cognitive thought, analysis, review, understanding of history. So it's anybody who pretends to know what they're talking about, like some deranged Marxist with a theory that's never worked anywhere on planet Earth in the history of mankind, it should be a 5-second slam dunk to defeat a Marxist in a debate. To simply say, show me one nation in the history of mankind that ever truly prospered over the long term by embracing Marxism or communism. There is none. Only in fantasy land. Okay, so this guy obviously is getting off on his own writing here. And now he writes in this article, this is in big italics letters, the legacy of this unholy union. Let me explain to you what holy union, holy, he means it sarcastically, unholy union. Okay, so let me read you what he says. This is the guy who wrote this article, really deep thinker. Obviously, I'm being satirical. Quote, the results point to a stark conclusion. What a hammy writer. While most white Christians think of themselves as people who hold warm feelings toward African Americans, who the heck talks like that? Who on planet Earth uses an expression like a people who hold warm feelings towards African Americans? I don't know anybody in America who talks like that. That's like some word expression from the 1940s or 1935. Who is this guy? I can tell you right now, this guy didn't grow up in a city, wasn't connected to people. Who writes like this? This is like the way you would write an article in 1945. Who talks like this? I don't know anybody who talks like this. Well, let me read it again. While most white Christians think of themselves as people who hold warm feelings towards African Americans, I don't know anybody who talks like that anymore, holding warm feelings. I don't know a single human being who speaks in dinosaur talk. This guy is writing in dinosaur. That tells you right now that he's a Marxist, but the gray matter in the brain has deteriorated really, really seriously. But he loves his words. So here's his italics words. The legacy of this unholy union, the unholy union he's talking about is evangelical Christians and white mainline Protestants and white Catholics. The legacy of this unholy union still lives in the DNA of white Christianity today, and not just among white evangelical Protestants in the South. So he's saying, you know, this evil, you know, this guy likes to play it both ways. He's either a Christian or he's not a Christian, or he was raised a Christian or he's not a Christian. It's like following his reading is like playing a game of checkers. So let me read you what he says now. I suspect many of my fellow white Christians, are you a Christian? Because you've dodged this all through the article, will be appalled by these findings and asking with genuine dismay, what is it with this terminology in the vocabulary? Who speaks in language like asking with genuine dismay? Who talks like that? Who do you know that speaks to you like, oh, I had genuine dismay today that it was human out? Or regarding anything, who do you know? Do you know anybody who uses the expression anymore? I had genuine dismay today because my favorite peaches weren't available at the supermarket, and it was only the GM. You know, I mean, nobody talks like that. When you read a writer's writing and his language forms, etc., are culturally irrelevant, it's because the writer himself or herself is irrelevant. Nobody talks like this. Is this guy like a guy who got converted to Marxism in 1935 or something? What is it with this guy? I got to read this again. This is. If I was to teach a class on how not to write, this would definitely be examples. I suspect many of my, and he's always condescending. The liberal, the Marxist, the communist, the socialist, always condescending. But I don't know what this guy has to be condescending about, because like I said, there's nothing much upstairs. Okay, so let me read his writing again. Quote, I suspect many of my fellow white Christians will be appalled by these feelings along with genuine dismay. I feel like I'm reading a book in third grade, except I was reading Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. What kind of writing is this? This is moronic writing. You say, well, you're being really picky. No, I'm not. If somebody's using cultural mores, slangs, expressions, and figures of speech from the 1940s, okay, and it reeks of it, then don't get annoyed at me that I'm simply pointing out the obvious. All right, that would be like a guy writing an article about some technology that people don't use, payphones. It's just the same if this guy was to interchangeably talk about, well, I was walking down the street the other day and I had to make a phone call, so I had to wait in line at a payphone booth, and then I had to make sure I had quarters and dimes enough to make this call on the payphone. Nobody would use an analogy like that anymore, because that kind of analogy about a payphone is so antiquated, because payphones aren't around anymore, and most people don't even know what the heck you're talking about. But when he says things like asking with genuine dismay, which, by the way, this is what I guess he thinks, this is sophisticated mocking of Christians. I don't know. All right, so I really want to barf. He hates white Christians, man. Every other paragraph. This is part of this program, self-hatred, because he just said he was a white Christian. Okay. This guy has a. I don't think he knows many people. I don't think he talks to a lot of people or interacts to a lot of people. because the archaic nature of his language is like, I can't get it. Okay. Okay, this is his writing again. Consider the cultural context in which American Christianity, both Protestant and Catholic, was born. In the 18th and 19th centuries, as Protestant churches were springing up in newly settled territories, after Native American populations were forcibly removed, it was common practice, observed, for example, at the Baptist church that was the progenitor of my parents' church in Macon, Georgia. So why? Oh, okay. For slaveholding whites. No argument. A Christian slaveholder is a horrific historical fact. I'm not arguing with him about historical facts. I think he has a great tendency of exaggeration and distortion, but clearly there were white slaveholders. Now, then he goes to the 1940s, and then as you continue to read the article, as you continue to read the article, this guy loves to play games with his identity. Remember, he told us he was a white Christian, but early on he didn't really disclose that he was a white Christian. But he specifically did tell us he was a white Christian. I read it to you three times. But then as you go in the article, he distances himself identity-wise from calling himself a Christian or calling himself white or whatever. He intentionally disguises it again. In other words, his identity and who he is, Christian or non-Christian, seems to be something that is revealed by some kind of revelation, depending upon which paragraph you're reading. He either hides his Christianity. I don't suspect that his faith is very serious based on a lack of seriousness in his article. Okay, so here's the whole thing. They save it to the end. So he writes, because this is now he's revealing his real heart of what he's really, in the last paragraph of his article, this author is going to reveal to you why he really wrote the article, what his feelings really are, and what he's passionate about. This is where they drop the intellectual pretense and kind of let it, you can see right into their heart. So let me read you what he closes his article with. Quote, as monuments to white supremacy are falling all across America. Now see, right there is a lie. Trying to tear down Christopher Columbus, Abraham Lincoln, people who died, or people who had nothing to do with slavery. Trying to say that every statue, every government memorial we had was racist, complete lie. Yeah, there were some Confederate generals. By the way, it's neither here nor there, but I'm not Confederate. I'm white. None of my family was from the Confederate side. So why are you giving me a lecture? Okay? Why are you giving me a lecture about what the Confederates did? I'm not responsible for what the Confederates did. I'm not responsible for what the Confederates did. And they're trying to make me responsible. Okay, so so he writes, as monuments to white supremacy are falling across America, a great cloud of witnesses is gathering. So this is him trying to be poetic. Our fellow African American citizens, and indeed the entire country, are waiting to see whether we white Christians can finally find the humility and courage and love to face the truth about our long relationship with white supremacy and to dismantle the Christian worldview we built to justify it. So this is the whole thing. Now, first of all, the Bible does not teach racism. Okay. The theory that is widespread and taught everywhere that teaches racism is Darwinian evolution. So let's start right there. He didn't mention anything about Darwinian evolution. And I'm not just getting off on some, you know, side trip here. This is important because Darwinian evolution started to take off in the 1800s, early 1800s. And it basically rejected the biblical view, which was that a creator God created Adam and Eve, and mankind was the creation of the biblical God. With Darwinian evolution, you know, after 400 million years of random chance, this chemical bumped into this molecule or whatever, this rock eventually evolved into a primitive life form. And then after hundreds of millions of years passed from, you know, protoplasm to some bird to a chimpanzee, man evolved totally by random accident. Okay, totally by random accident. No order to it all. Man evolved. But the primary doctrines and the primary tenets of this religion called secular humanism or Darwinian evolution, their religious dogma, because that's exactly what it is. The Supreme Court said that secular humanism is a religion. And so in their religious dogma, they say that evolution is a fact, yet they have no facts to prove that evolutionary theory is true. And the primary tenet, the primary dogma of Charles Darwin and evolutionary theory is this: might makes right. The fittest survive. This is huge. The whole philosophical worldview of the time that we live in. I'm talking about on a global level. I'm talking about on the level of a global consciousness and a global understanding. The primary religion that essentially dominates the world at this present moment is kind of an occult atheism, all right? And they believe that we came here by evolution. And they believe man is an accident. Now, evolution's tenets are that the fittest survive, might makes right. So you have competition in the jungle, okay? And the meanest, most vicious gorilla, he'll kill off the weaker gorillas, and therefore his seed, his DNA will go on. Okay? Mankind too. If mankind can invent technology to kill animals, then mankind survives and animals don't. So the whole building block of evolution is that there is a Darwinian basis for all of existence, and that means the fittest survive. Those molecules, those primitive life forms, those species, man himself, that survive, that are stronger than the others, they deserve to survive. They deserve to evolve because the law of evolution says might makes right. All right, only the fittest survive. It's the whole thing based on force of power, force of mind, then you can triumph and dominate others. Now, one of the most primary ideas within Darwinian evolutionary theory is racism. I'm going to say this again, and I hope you pass it on to your friends, or I hope you absorb it and teach it to your friends. One of the primary doctrines within Darwinian evolution is racism. There has to be racism because Darwinian evolutionary theory teaches that all of mankind's evolving was on the basis of this tribe or this individual being superior in strength, intelligence, or whatever than other human beings. And so the ones that were the strongest, the most intelligent, they destroyed the weaker ones. The fittest survived. So the elite people in our world, the globalist occult elite, in the 1800s began spending countless millions of dollars on creating and breeding a master race. A master race. And in their materials, they, of course, they applied evolutionary theory to the races of man. And these evolutionary scientists, just like the Nazis got their ideas from the American evolutionary scientists. There's an inferior race and a master race. This is according to the evolutionary scientists. And so they made, arbitrarily, minorities, African Americans, Hispanics, they designated them as inferior races. And then I believe the Asian race was the considered the most superior, or the white race was considered the most superior. So this whole thing with Adolf Hitler and the blonde-haired, blue-eyed master race, you know, type thing, that came from the same science, evolutionary science, breeding a master race. Okay, so this writer of this article is insane. He's insane because he's off on a rabbit trail about Christianity. You could destroy, I could destroy this guy's lame article. It could take me 15 minutes to sit down and write an article and just completely dismantle it from a psychological, scientific, sociological, historical, biological basis. This guy doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. Okay? And this is what defeats his impeccably shallow argument, his toilet paper argument. This guy's toilet paper argument. He tries to blame racism, or what he goes back and forth, systemic racism, on white Christianity. And yet, the fastest growing religion in the world today, in the United States today, according to secular scientists, is atheism tied with witchcraft in the United States. So witchcraft and atheism actually, according to these polls, have more influence in our society than quote, white Christianity. And everybody in the school systems and the movies and everything has been indoctrinated into the Darwinian evolutionary theory belief system, including this guy. And it is that Darwinian theory of evolution, not produced by white Christians, but produced by atheists of whatever race they are, who believe there's a master race as well as an inferior race. And they believe that's a correct view of reality. So the religion that's the most racist is not white Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's not Catholicism. It would be atheism, which is secular humanism, because their entire theory of evolution is entirely based on might makes right, the fittest survive, a master race, and then the inferior races. That is the entire, that is the whole apex of the scientific dictatorship and the reason they have Malthusian population reduction and planned droughts and stuff. That's the mother lode of truth. But this man has a widget mind. You know, widgets are little mechanical devices you can sell. This is a writer who's really a widget, has a widget. Like, he doesn't have an intellect. He has a widget brain. His brain was designed to write about widgets and analyze widgets. He's out of his league when he tries to dismiss Christianity as, oh, white Christians are have a higher... this annoys me because the title itself is a complete statistical lie. He's saying in his title, racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religion, or the non-religious. That's completely false. He has no evidence whatsoever to back that up. And he uses interchangeably the term systematic racism and racism in a counterfeit attempt to win his argument. The reality is the thought, the religion that creates the most racism in America and the world today is not white Christianity. It is the religion of secular humanism. Supreme Court defined secular humanism as a religion, just as much as a religion is, quote, white Christianity. And by the way, America's cities are bursting with African-American churches, Christian churches. And America's states, in every state in America, is bursting with African-American churches. So this his pseudo-surgical attempt to separate white Christianity from Hispanic Christianity, from African-American Christianity, he's manipulating. He's not telling the truth. But the worst and most egregious part of this propaganda is the lie, is trying to seed a lie for the purpose of creating violence. Right? That's the worst part of it, based on a lie. Because when he says racism among white Christians is higher than among the non-religious, he has no data to support that, no facts to support that, no argument to support that. And his the very frame of reference he uses, he distorts. But this is what you call fake news. And yet it's called, interestingly enough, like George Orwell's 1984, this propaganda news website from NBC, which is called Think, and yet when you read this page, you're not thinking, you're non-thinking. So it really shouldn't be called Think, it should be called Stop Thinking or something, because like many Orwellian terms, freedom is slavery, war is peace, to label a propaganda platform and call it Think when you're being subjected to. But this thing is like mind control. I mean, it's not even hiding it. It's this thought experiment, and it tells you to read that title. And then you can take a thought experiment, and you can go through this little game with your mind, and you'll be programmed to be a complete fool. So that's what we're dealing with. And the name of the game is to incite violence, riots, burning, and attacks on churches, and specifically white Christian churches, because they've been demonized in the article. This article makes white Christian churches, portrays them as if they were KKK members, and that is not even remotely true. Not even remotely true. So this is... What is this about? Is this about baiting people into committing violence against churches? I don't know. To me, it seems like it's trying to generate hatred and anger and rage towards Christians. Demonize Christians. Attack Christians. So, you can probably expect in the very near future increasing attacks on the church. And based on a lie perpetuated by the mainstream media with nobody check and balancing them. So you have to spread the word, because the idea is to brand you and to brand me as, oh, you're a white Christian. But you know, the churches I go to they have people from all races. Paradise Mountain Church, we have people from all races. So you couldn't even, if you tried to, call us a white Christian church, because we're in Los Angeles. So, this kind of thing has to be rolled back, because there are people who are willing to, they want to create a race war. They've been trying to create a race war, so for the purpose of dividing and conquering. And the only way you can dismantle a race war is by dismantling the lies, such as the one we just read. By dismantling lies like that, you dismantle the lies that would be the causation for a race war. Because a race war just doesn't erupt out of nowhere. A race war erupts out of what people of different races secretly believe or have been taught to believe is true. And when it accumulates, they've allowed themselves to be so inundated, so programmed with hatred and whatever, that it leads to physical violence. And there are very powerful people in this nation. This is what they're itching for. And I would say this, they are baiting white Christians, just like they're baiting Christians of other races. Stir up anger, stir up resentment, just baiting them. And if you buy into that bait, you will lose because you're playing a game. You don't know anything about what you're doing. You don't have a clue. All you are is an actor, an unpaid actor in somebody else's theatrical production. And they will use you to communicate any distortion of the truth. And that's why you have to have knowledge and you have to have power. And knowledge comes from power. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Pass this message, spread this message far and wide. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Isn't it interesting that you have what could be called an intense magnification of social engineering and social deconstruction, social revolution, social transformation occurring with demonstrators, protesters, police and demonstrators, the radical communist Marxist groups, the mantra or the opinion of the mainstream media, and then the introduction of new ideas and new opinions. And vast majority of all of this is happening at the same time there's this coronavirus epidemic happening. So you have this incredibly high level of social transformation, planned social transformation, engineered social transformation, not random chance social transformation. So you have this very high degree of social transformation happening right now. But at the same time, you have people in many states living under quarantine, isolated to their apartments, houses, condos, whatever, where many jobs are shut down, many types of businesses are shut down. So you have a total disruption of what you would call any kind of normal way of life. You have people in their living places, you know, houses, condos, whatever, for long periods of time. This disrupts all kinds of things. In many blue states, you can't have a church service unless you comply with almost impossible standards. Now, what do you think this does to the average person psychologically? No, everybody's affected by all this to one degree or another. But this is, think of this like a massive psychological experiment. Because when you have people quarantined in their houses, not going to their jobs for whatever reason, maybe their job doesn't exist. When you have people quarantined and you have people only seeing certain people physically and you have all the other things, the isolation, social isolation. So when we say quarantine, we're really talking about social isolation. and in mind control and in brainwashing and in programming, there are a number of scientific principles. One is, I've talked to you about this many times, in my book, Conquering the Matrix. It basically shows you how to deprogram yourself from being programmed and conditioned, and exposes what's happening in the outer society in my book, Conquering the Matrix. So we know that one of the main principles of programming people is repetition. But another primary way of programming any person is through isolation, psychological isolation, and social isolation. So we have to understand from a scientific perspective, and I explain all this, by the way, because this is a very, very important truth, the truth of social isolation. I explain it in my books because I continue to talk about it through quite a few books because it's a very important principle. I was first introduced to this principle when I was in high school, because I wanted to be a scientist when I was a kid. And one of my childhood heroes was a scientist named Dr. John C. Lilly, often known as the Porpoise Doctor. This may be before your time, but there was a hit movie many years ago called The Day of the Dolphin. And a famous actor was in it. I forgot his name. In any case, The Day of the Dolphin was based on the life story of Dr. John C. Lilly, who was the doctor that first told the world, or at least theorized before the world, that dolphins are as intelligent as human beings, he maintained. So they made a feature film about his life. But then there was a movie that I do not recommend seeing. It has some objectionable scenes, and I say that strongly. And that is a movie called Altered States of Consciousness. Now, this movie is decades old. But in Altered States of Consciousness, it was again based on Dr. John C. Lilly's life. And Dr. John C. Lilly was also a neuroscientist. So what he did is he would put himself physically in a dark room with water, body temperature, water, no sound, no sensory stimulus of any kind, and you would float. He was the man who developed this concept of floating in what was called, still is called, a sensory deprivation chamber. So no light, no sound, no tactile stuff, no the water's body temperature, you can't hear anything. When you do that to a person, okay, after a certain amount of hours, a person who is deprived of all normal psychological, physical stimuli, when you deprive a person of stimulation of any of their senses, what happens is they begin to hallucinate and hear voices. So Lilly would experiment with this, and then he would take powerful psychedelic drugs like ketamine, which can be a psychedelic drug at certain dosages. And he would hallucinate, he'd leave his body and all kinds of stuff. But he was not as crazy as his research may sound to you. He was a highly respected scientist, wrote like 16 books, etc. Okay, so the point was that you've seen these prison movies and stuff, like when people are thrown into solitary confinement, even the most hardened criminals, many of them crack, they go crazy, they're never the same, they go insane. You've heard all those stories, right? Yeah. So the whole thing is that the reason solitary confinement, when they lock somebody in a prison cell with no light or anything, in a remote place, the reason that is so terrifying and horrible is that it breaks the mind. When you take away the stimulation of other people and light and human interaction and stuff, you can cause people to hallucinate and stuff in prisons. I mean, tough prisoners. Right. So the point is that we are not talking about people being put in, quote, solitary confinement and floating sensory deprivation chambers with psychedelic drugs. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about the fact that even at a reduced level psychologically, when you begin to put people into social isolation or quarantine them, even on a reduced level, you produce, let's just call it, weird psychological aftershocks. You open up vulnerabilities. Potentially, there are people who know how to take the stress of social isolation, and social isolation could then theoretically become a mind control force, an accelerated mind control force being introduced into an already pre-existing environment. So if you want to radically transform people's core beliefs, there's a lot of people that if they were in their right mind, and if they weren't being quarantined and being subject to all kinds of other social isolation and stress, that they would, under normal circumstances, see the insanity behind accusing all white Christians of being responsible for racism as the primary perpetrators of racism. You would normally see through that baloney. But when your mind's all messed up through quarantine, through social isolation, and these other behavioral transformations that we are being forced to undergo because of the coronavirus, you now press a button in the average person's mind, which makes their thoughts and their beliefs, etc., malleable, shapeable, because you have now triggered a major programmer and reprogrammer of the human mind, which is called social isolation or sensory deprivation. So the point is, under normal circumstances, people would probably take that article I just read you and throw it in the garbage or just not look at it on the internet if they were in their normal state of mind. But when they're upside down, so to speak, through quarantine and all kinds of other nonsense, they are very suggestible. They are very vulnerable. Let me say to you that people, through the social isolation, through the quarantine, through all the psychological restructuring happening in our society right now, people are particularly vulnerable to being programmed and don't realize it. I would suggest to you that people normally wouldn't be so stupid as to buy some of these ridiculous accusations. So I don't believe it's an accident that these mind control programs, such as this term systematic racism, that's a Marxist mind control program. That's what you're dealing with. And what makes people vulnerable to them is they have a synergistic effect. They amplify when you use them in concert with sensory deprivation, the stress of the coronavirus, and many other factors, disruptions. You see, because all of when you're disrupting a person's norm, and let's remember, this whole thing was the tip off that this whole thing was a social engineering operation was when they said the new normal. Right up front, they distinguished between the old normal and the new normal. Well, that's a mind control word. That's a hypnotic programming word. It's not designed for you to consciously understand what the new normal means. But your subconscious mind totally understands what the new normal means. You understand what I'm saying? It's not necessary that you cognitively understand with your conscious mind what the new normal is, although you should, but it's not necessary. When they use the word new normal, the vast majority of people that are hearing those messaging, they know what they know the subconscious meaning of the subconscious meanings of the term new normal. It's a hypnotic programming word. Now, the most important thing is that God is God of his children. And God is a God of the supernatural. And God has a commitment to his children, his commitment to you, commitment to his people, a commitment to his church, if his people will seek him. So in a moment, I want to share the powerful truth that if you will embrace it, biblical truth, God will give you the supernatural power to be an overcomer and to be a person that brings overcoming, the overcoming power of the gospel wherever they go. Because God wants you to be a person of power and a person of destiny. That's his divine plan for your life. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So in the great spiritual battle, and that's what we're in. Again, that's why I titled my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which came out about 2 months before the coronavirus and stuff broke out. The point being that we are now in the greatest battle in the history of mankind. It's a spiritual battle. And you have been chosen by God, whether you know it or not. God chose you before the beginning of the world or the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. God chose you to be part of this spiritual battle. And it's a battle between truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, and deception. So, the critical thing here, the most critical thing that we can do, is since the truth sets people free, our job now, as salt and light, is to spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread a biblical worldview far and wide. To change the collective thinking of America. To change, and by the way, when they use the word conversation, it's time to have a conversation, and we need to have this conversation. Again, that's like hypnosis 1, 2, 3. It's like mind control ABC. Okay? That's a hypnotic pre-programming word. You got to be educated. Read my book, for crying out loud, Conquering the Matrix. It's about deprogramming yourself and others. When people are talking to you and they're using strange little verbal idioms like, well, America needs to have this conversation, the alarm bell should go off on you. America should have this conversation, and then you hear repetitions of that. That's a hypnosis thing. That's like saying, close your eyes and count back from 10 to put somebody in a hypnotic trance. That, in other words, like systematic racism, not only is it a Marxist mind control programming word, they both, social engineering, mind control, propaganda, all integrate the principles of hypnotic programming and suggestion. So don't participate in the programming by using the mind control words. Those are mind control words. Okay, so we have to set people free around us because most of them are under the influence, and I'm not talking about booze or crack or whatever. So right now, what we're dealing with is a all-out spiritual war between the truth and lies. Now, biblically, Satan is the father of lies. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So this titanic spiritual struggle on planet Earth that Bible prophecy warns about is this war between truth and lies, or truth and spiritual deception. And Satan is a liar. Now, we must, at this time, enter the spiritual battlefield and take down these satanic strongholds, dismantle them, or we'll perish as a nation and as a church. When that article was written, that article, the very headline, the title of that article about white Christians and racism was a lie. Therefore, the purpose of the article was to insert a satanic stronghold in the consciousness of America by sowing a lie into the minds of people, a carefully constructed lie. We deconstructed it for you to expose it for what it is, a lie. Because what's the motive? The agenda is to arouse, to divide and conquer. It's basic Marxism, communism, socialism 101, revolutionary theory 101. So we have to dismantle these lies. And to do that, we have to engage people's minds with the truth. That's the whole purpose of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. But we don't have that much time left. The clock is ticking. That's why I, in the picture of the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, on the back cover of the book is a picture of me standing before a famous clock in Manhattan. And like a second before the midnight hour. I was trying to say, you know what I was trying to say with that picture of The Greatest Battle. So time is running out, and we have to do everything we can to communicate through the internet, through video, through audio, through radio, through TV, through conferences, or whatever they may morph into electronically. Remember, all they have to do is come up with any number of solutions, and this whole coronavirus fear thing would go away. But see, they want this fear thing to stay. And people are talking about, like, it's written in stone that, you know, coronavirus is going to be here forever and blah, 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 blah. No, no. A biological innovation, a medical innovation. There are so many innovations that could be discovered or implemented, or things that we already know that could totally destroy, to end the coronavirus. Just end it. Or, for all practical purposes, end it. We've done that to numerous diseases. Okay, so the critical thing here is to not allow yourself to be programmed with lies and deception, to understand the truth, and to use that truth in guiding you, giving you wisdom, instruction, knowing how to pray for yourself, your family, your loved ones, your nation, knowing how to share the gospel. Most of all, knowing how to be proactive, knowing that your life makes a difference. Don't believe the lie that your life doesn't make a difference. And by the way, that guy's remark, you know, well, white Christians are, you know, basically all racists or whatever his lie was. Well, the idea is just to make the white Christian so self-defeated. And a lot of white Christians, this is where they're at. They're self-defeated because they've been told and programmed to believe that they're evil and that they're the people that are all the sins of society, you know, are attributed to them. And they don't have a biblical pastor teaching them the word of God, so they have no way to refute, not all, but many have no way to refute these spiritual attacks against them. That's why the messages we have, it's so important that you spread them far and wide. So The key thing is that the Church of Jesus Christ, by the way, you know this, I know this, is not, Christianity is not white, never was white. From day one, it wasn't white. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. From day one, Christianity was not white. So I don't know what this guy is blabbing about with his white Christianity obsession. Christianity wasn't white for a long, long time in history, because Christianity came from the Middle East. It came from the Jewish people and the people around those areas. And they had dark hair and much darker skin. They weren't, you know, your stereotypical white person. And every Christian knows that. It doesn't matter if some stupid comic book or coloring book of Jesus shows him with blonde hair and blue eyes. That's irrelevant. No white Christian is trying to go around saying that Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. Came from the Middle East. We all know that. So, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it was just ordinary people of that time living in Jerusalem. So, God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit on the church in America. And that means the church has to resist this seduction, this programming, because there are powerful forces that want to see the Christian church divided, and they want to see the Christian church fight each other along racial lines and ethnic lines. But every place that I've gone in my life, and when I've been in the presence of true Christians who are truly born again and have the Spirit of God in them, I've always seen racial harmony. I've always seen love and acceptance. And every gathering or meeting I've gone to where, even though there were people from many different racial or ethnic groups, they were loving one another. And there was a oneness that was obvious. So this whole narrative, which is a lie, about white Christianity being responsible for racism, is, it's not that there aren't white Christians who aren't racist. Of course there are, just like there's black Christians who are racist. Racism is a sin. I don't know anybody who condones racism or preaches or teaches racism. So the key is for the black church, the white church, the Hispanic church, and other ethnic and racial groups to love one another as Christ told us to. And true born-again Christians do love one another, by the way. If you have a bunch of people who just call themselves Christians and they're behaving like racists, well, it's obvious why. They were never born again to begin with. But if they're truly born again, people that are truly born again, I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed, have a supernatural love in them, no matter what race they are. So we needed to pray and intercede. And that this message, I cannot tell you how important this message is, to get people to pray and intercede for our nation like never before, or we're gonna lose this nation. It will become a prison camp. We have to recognize the severity of the spiritual battle we're in at this very moment. This isn't a joke. In my entire life, I have commented, reported, written, spoken about so many events historically, and that happened in my lifetime. I've never seen anything on the level of this magnitude. Now, that doesn't make me afraid, by the way. It simply means I've never seen anything at the level of this magnitude. But I know that God has given us the power to make a difference, to do something. God has a plan for each one of us, and that plan is to not sit around in a stupor being petrified. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're hearing me say that, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is quickening many of you listening. And by that I mean, you just heard me say a Bible verse, which You've heard that Bible verse. You're familiar with it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But the Lord is anointing that verse with his Holy Spirit, and you're hearing it on a whole different level and in a far deeper dimension. So I'm going to just say to you the word of God, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. Own that. Take it. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if you're dominated and oppressed by a spirit of fear, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Instead, God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. You claim that. You own that. And you walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. And God will set you free from that paralyzing, irrational fear that can grip people and manifest itself in things like PTSD and anxiety and depression and all kinds of things. Don't allow that spirit. Allow the Lord, allow the power of the Holy Spirit, allow the power of Jesus Christ to break the yoke of fear off you right now in the name of Jesus. Let those spiritual chains be shattered right now in the name of Jesus and walk in freedom as Jesus Christ desires you to by simply reaching out and receiving by faith the supernatural power of God, which drives out all fear and gives you power, love, and a sound mind. Walk in that. Be free from fear. Walk in that. The atmosphere of your life should be one of the presence of the Holy Spirit, of peace, of God's divine covering and anointing. Fear, that's not for you. Allow the Lord power to drive that out of your life. And then allow the Lord to speak to you and give you a plan. And you know what? What is prayer? All prayer is talking to God. You just go to God and talk to him, and then you listen. God will give you a plan, plans. God will speak to you. God will comfort you. God will strengthen you. It's not hard, but you got to call on him. His name is Jesus, by the way. You call on the wrong God, you're not going to get the right answer. Jesus will help you, because Jesus knew these prophetic days. And by the way, when we say prophetic, the immediate image that comes to your mind should not be terror and panic and fear, because it's the last days. Now, the last days is both potential fear and terror, but also massive deliverance, God's power, God's miracles. I mean, there's two forces going on. So God, it wants to equip you with everything you need to accomplish the mission that he called you to accomplish. And your job is to pray. Your job is to respond. Your job is to be fed spiritually. Your job is to obey the Lord and to begin walking out on faith. Visit paulmaguire.us. Spread our... Oh, by the way, you know, on the Roku channel, Paul Maguire Ministries, we have hundreds of hours of Bible teaching and ministry and Bible prophecy teaching from me that I gave at Paradise Mountain Church over the years. You can go to paulmaguire.us to connect to our Roku channel and sign up and join and follow and like and everything else. Our Facebook pages, the Instagram page, New Media Voice, other social media, podcasting, all that stuff is listed and posted for you at paulmaguire.us. And take advantage of our bundle book offers. Remember, we need your spiritual prayers, intercessory prayer warfare. We need your willingness to spread our messages far and wide. And we need you to call on God and ask what you can do personally to help finance this ministry through your donations and gifts. God bless you. This is Paul Maguire. visit paulmaguire.us and spread
truth as fast as you can while you can. God bless you, Paul Maguire.